Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
How many enjoyed last week with Andy Elms? Okay, if you did not have the opportunity, go on to our YouTube archives, and there's Faith Camp 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is all four messages that Andy preached. I recommend them. Actually, I'm pretty demanding on the leadership because I'm making some changes. I was in desperate need of last weekend. Karen, come share what that portion that you shared with me. When she came and shared this with me, it was like, yep, got it. That's exactly what we're at. Just share what God showed you.
The last night that Andy was here, it was Sunday, and during worship, I felt this really heavy pressure on my chest. And I asked the Lord, what is this? And it felt like the pressure that I've heard people experience when they're having a heart attack. And the Lord took me in a vision. I saw him doing the hand compressions on someone that was laid out on the floor. And I just kept watching, and I was waiting to see him then breathe into the person. And he never did. He just kept doing the hand impressions. Well, Mary Ann shared with me that that's the new way of doing CPR. You no longer need to breathe in. And then the Lord showed me that what he was doing was this was a picture, the one laid on the floor is the picture of the body of Christ. And the Lord is massaging our heart so that his blood flows to every part of each of us.
That's good. Thank you. Yeah. Is that good or what? Well, I spent Tuesday with Papa Lou and Dr. Van Gaten, who Lou has known for 40 plus years, and Papa Jack. And I'm sitting around some giants of the faith going, I belong here. I belong here among the giants. And you hear Dr. Gaten tell the stories that he was a drug addict and met Jesus, and then he met Lou. Thank God he met Jesus first before he met Lou. And here's this really good-looking black man who says that he put his hand on his head and he said, God, if you'll hear my mind, I'll give it to you. What does he have, three doctorates, earned doctorates? He's a smart feller. He was talking words. I'm like, Jesus, I need interpretation for that. I'm like, am I saved? He was breaking stuff down at a level. I mean, and some of the stuff that God's done in his life is amazing. And Lou and him were talking about some meeting they were in 40 years ago about the guy would pay for all preachers to come, and he'd do a conference. He paid for them so he could preach to them. You know, when you tell a preacher, hey, it's not going to cost you nothing, and I'll feed you, he'll let you preach to him. But they talked about the section of scripture that I'm going to preach on, and when they were talking about it, it jumped all over me. It's the story of Samson. And for what we've been going through and where we're going and what we're doing, I just started reading it and then realized that got into situation within my family with my two boys my boys are intense. You know, when you get around warriors and you're not one, you'll shrink back. But if you're not a wise warrior, you won't recognize that some people aren't. And there was a situation in our family this weekend that I thought I was right and Susie thought I was wrong. And we're going to preach about that. And the Lord just said, click on the name of that. And I realized I've been wrong. And part of what I'm realizing, what I'm going to preach and teach today, it's just a family message. It's a house message. And the bottom line is, I am an intense warrior. that God had to shut down my gifting for multiple years so he could build the character and the heart. I have been a pastor for about 6 or 8 years now with an anointing from God, a grace to pastor in the pastoral, becoming a good shepherd. But that's not my real gifting. I will fight a buzzsaw to find out if it's sharp. That's not pastoral. That's warrior. And the pastoral thing is coming off of me. And what happened last weekend, you know, the Lord said to me, he says, yeah, you want to have a nice church or do you want to build a militia? Listen, I fit in militia better than I do church. And so when Lou and Dr. Gayton and Papa Jack were having their conversation, God was having one with me. And so I just want you to realize that there's changes going on. How many noticed there was no flags here this morning? How many got upset about it? Good, I'm glad. You know why? Because sometimes change has to happen. And I don't want to make changes abruptly to throw anybody off the ship. But I'm making some changes because I'm going to recast the vision of the house. We're going to minister to the masses, but we're going to build militia. Okay? And so we're going to build some militia. And so when I know that I have ruffled some feathers, I am concerned about that. Trust me, I am concerned about that. But I'm more concerned with not fulfilling the destiny of the house. And so we have some changes going on. And I mean, you know, Lou's talking about breakthrough. I mean, it was great worship today. I need breakthrough. But I'm going to tell you, he gave me his card. There. Nick showed me a picture. I wasn't here last week. He showed me a picture of his little boy worshiping with Jeff down here. And when he showed me that picture, I went, God, that's what I'm desiring. There's a time for flags. There's a time for dance. But that's what I want. Amen. And so when Andy Elms says God won't lay life over life, he lays it over death. I'm going to kill some things for a season. I'm not against flags. I'm not against the arts. I'm not against dance. We're going to restructure it. We're going to bring it back in different dimensions with different trainings and teachings. You want to do flags? Saturday night. You want to do flags? Wednesday night. I got people last night complaining about we're not doing flags on Sunday, but he wasn't doing flags now. Then I'm like, get your butt out there and do what you think is so powerful to you. Quit complaining. I love you, David. You know, we take our energy and time and complain about what we don't have, and you're missing the opportunity to do what you think is passionate. You know, and I'm going to tell you, God's going to do some things here. Why? Because I'm going to raise some really, really warriors. Why? Because that's really, really, really my gifting. But some of you can't handle the warrior side of me. And I'm going to try to be as delicate as I possibly can. What you don't know is Andy Elms came here with a mission. Years ago, Susie and I hired a business consultant to come and look at our business and tell us what we were doing wrong so we could make more money and do it right. And the first thing he did is your baby's ugly. Your company's this. I mean, he went down a list, and before he was done, Susie and I wanted to stab him with a pitchfork. And I was going to hold him, and she was going to stick him with an ice pick. He hurt our feelings. He made us mad. And then he wanted $50,000 to help me to correct it. So no, just give me the list. I already paid you. Give me the list. I'll fix it myself. Now get out of here. And that's kind of, you know, he came in and he gave me some instructions. I'm not Andy Elms. I'm Charlie Coker. I don't go to the UK. I'm here. But the vision's changing it to be what we are. We're going to be a training center, and we're going to raise militia warriors to take cities. And it starts with this message. Judges chapter 13, verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. So after mine and Susie's little confrontation, and she pretty well slapped me around her head, neck, and shoulders, and I was right until I went to bed. And I mean, I don't just fight with Susie because it's really not healthy. Because she's not really wrong a lot. And so the first verse, the Lord says, hey, he says, I'm going to show you something. What are the meanings of those names? The name meaning of Zora is leprosy, scab, or a hornet. So right in the first thing, Zora, leprosy, scab, or hornet. So listen, there's a certain man from leprosy. A certain man with scabs. A certain man that's been stung by a hornet. If you've heard my teachings on bitterness, a hornet will sting you, and bitterness will be your fruit. And then the Dan is judgment, he that judges. And then Manoah is rest. It means rest. And as the thing that my boys and I, we were on this text about. My oldest son has been invited to go get his PhD, and you know, he works full time, do PhD. I mean, and then my youngest son's on the text, and I work 55 hours as a cop. I'm doing 12 credit hours in education, and I do National Guard one week in a month, and he's got a wife and three kids. You're crazy, kid. And then you got me. And then on a private text, two of the boys sent it to me. Mom takes care of our rest. He was mocking her. I didn't mean to hurt her feelings, because then dummy showed it to her. And I hurt her feelings. And really the bottom line is, she's not built the way my two boys and I are. And she's learned to rest when she knows she needs to rest. And I wasn't doing it to mock her, but the bottom line is something clicked in me. And we make her into superwoman. We'll just leave it that word. When she's not designed to be superwoman in those areas. And I was pushing, we have a tendency to ridicule or push people out of what they do best. And so, number one, you got to get whole, and figure out what is hindering you. What is your scab? What is your leprosy? What hornet has stung you? And what are you judging incorrectly? We walk around with God. He says, you know, I was doing ministry and then I got stung and now I'm not doing it anymore. Well, then you were doing ministry for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. And what you're really saying is, I haven't entered into his rest because I'm still mad at them. Rest, Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. You cannot reproduce the warrior like Samson within you without birthing it from rest. That was good. Verse 2, for good news came to us just as to them by the message they heard. Did not benefit them. There's a lot of people that are hearing the gospel that it's not benefited them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. You think you're going to fulfill your destiny without people because you think your calling's bigger. You think your purpose is bigger, and you are never going to fulfill it without people. I don't believe God will do it. Verse 3. For we who believed entered that rest, as he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundations of the world. Listen, there's something about God. He won't let you be successful unless you do it in him. And if you don't learn to rest in him, you will rest in your own identity. And I'm gonna tear up identity here in a minute. You're going to see what Samson wore them out on their own identity. And so you've got to realize we've got to figure out what our leprosy is. We've got to figure out what our scab is. We've got to figure out what stung us. Find and judge it properly. We're judging the one who stung us. We're judging the one who gave us leprosy. You know, my mom and dad, you know, they were religious. They drugged me. I had a drug problem. They drugged me to church every Sunday. Then I got addicted to meanness. And it's their fault. No, that's improper judging. You're supposed to judge properly in righteousness. And what you're telling God is, I don't like the one you chose to wound me with. I didn't get a lot of amens out of that one.
Amen.
Thank you. See, John 7:24 says, do not judge by appearances, but judge according to righteous judgments. Listen, if God gave you a promise and you're in a pickle and you can't get along with your leaders, you might want to realize God's trying to get something out of you so he can put something in you so that when you actually get where you're supposed to, it's righteous.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, attract God, get pregnant, and train the baby. Attract God, get pregnant, and train the baby. Verse 3, Judges 13:3. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne a child, but you shall conceive and bear the fact. See, listen, the fact is she was barren. The truth is God wanted her pregnant.
That's right.
Some of you are bellyaching about your barrenness, but you're unwilling to position yourself to get pregnant. Because you don't really, I'd rather abort that thing because I don't want to feed it. It's legal to have abortion. Well, it's not in the church. And we've been aborting our promises and our babies because we don't want to take responsibility and train it. Are we okay? Verse 4, therefore be careful and drink no wine, no strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. Be sober in your lifestyle with what you're in your promises. Some of you would rather drink wine and get full of joy rather than find God and have joy.
Amen.
For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines. What's the purpose? Get pregnant. Got instructions on how to raise the child. And what's the purpose? He'll begin to save Israel from the enemy. Listen, some of the kids around here, I had to ask Susie, pray for me. I do. I need help. I need you to pray for me. My grandkids come to the house. I sleep in the number 2 bedroom. And if I can find a business trip, I'm out of here. That's not healthy. And that's not a father. Okay? But listen, are we going to train them? Or are they going to train you? We're going to have to train them. Listen, I believe these kids are coming, but I want that picture that he showed me. I want to see that. I can put up with that if I see some of this.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm going to raise some Samsons. I'm going to raise some giant killers. I want to raise somebody with a tenacity like, Pastor Charlie, you said I could do anything. And I saw that giant. Some people were said, he's so big, I'm scared. And the little boy goes, no, he was so big, I couldn't miss. Which one is it? You're raising our kids to go, oh, he's so big. Or the kid going, man, you can't miss that one. Which one are we raising? Come on. Verse 6. Where am I at, Mom? Nope, I'm jumping to 8, baby. Now, Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God who you sent again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born. Do you understand? She had the encounter with the angel that said, you're barren, but you're going to get pregnant. Do you understand? She needed to participate with the pregnancy thing. But the man of God says, okay, if this is true and this is you and she's going to get pregnant, I need to hear instructions on how to facilitate this whole thing. So he prayed to the Lord that the angel would come again and give him instructions on how to train the child. Teach us what we are to do with a child who is going to be born. Verse 9, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of the Lord came again to the woman and sat in the field, and Manoah, her husband, was not with her. We shouldn't hunt and fish all the time. Don't take it personal, Gary. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man has come to me and has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said, are you the man who spoke to this woman? He said, I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? Man, you got to write. Yeah, you got to ask the right questions if you're going to raise a giant killer. You got to have to listen. I saw a bunch of kids last night in Unit 25. I'm like, oh Jesus, there's some giant killers in there, but they're never going to kill a giant if we don't get serious about training them. We don't get serious about teaching them who their God is. Because David didn't go kill the giant on his own. He said, I can't believe you're mocking the Lord. Who's mine? And he shows up and kills him. The problem is we are not secure enough in us to actually be around a giant killer. Because they make us look bad. Verse 18. An angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? That might have been Jesus talking to him. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the man and the young man grew and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanah-Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Mahanah-Dan means tent of judgment, which is a council of judges. Zorah is leprosy, scab, and hornet. Eshtol, strong woman. Wow. That was good. So listen. So as I'm reading this, he said, son, what is your mandate? What has it always been? Find the women that have been suppressed and oppressed in the church. Tell them who they are and give them the place to have a voice. See, I went to God and judged him incorrectly when I told him that I didn't like my three sisters. I'm the baby, I was mom's favorite, and they tortured me. If I did not learn to fight, I would not be here today because they would have killed me. I'm not afraid of strong women. My calling is to help you get what you're supposed to be and become the voice and the warrior and the giant killer that God tells you to be. And it's, some of that is against the politics of the church. And that's not kingdom and that's not God. And we're going to learn to respect the opposite genders, men. And we're going to understand that God is anointing them to replace us because we have not allowed them to be who God called them to be many times. Should they listen to Sit Down and Shut Up again? Yeah, that's a good one. It's on our archives. Sit Down and Shut Up. Strong women. Something just birthed in me the other day. When I read this strong woman, I find these old journals of my mother. My mother was in a system and an era where she couldn't be the prophet she was. She could give some prophecies, but she was never honored for the prophet she was. But let me tell you what, when my daddy tells a story, when mama come out of the prayer room, you better listen to her. We knew who she was. And you read journals and you read things that your mother's writing to God. Dear God, are you going to allow me to do what you promised me? And she said, and God says, no, but the one you're carrying, he'll fulfill many of your calling. And you realize she's pregnant with you. I was born to be a giant killer. He shut some of this down because if he would have just let me be what I was 10 years ago, there was a mean side of me. Not intentional. It was all by accident. I'm asking for a little grace here. You know, you get as much grace as you give. You know. Verse 14, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Guess what Timnah means? The forbidden. And so when you're a warrior, many times you don't follow the rules. When you're designed by God to protect a nation, you're a warrior and you just don't always follow the rules. And that's why God has to temper us. Then he came up and told his father and his mother, I saw one of the daughters of Philistine at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Verse 3, but his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all of our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she's right in my eyes. Oh, yeah. You like that? Everybody's going, I think I married the right one. Verse 4. His father and mother said, his father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord. For he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At the time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Listen, we judge incorrectly and we judge by our senses. And we want to say, oh, that little boy won't submit. Well, maybe he just ain't got submit in him in that area. But we won't work on the areas he's supposed to. Or sometimes in our trying to make them submit, we break their spirit. I'm going to talk out of turn here, but I'll ask for forgiveness later. I'm sitting with Lou, and I'm sitting with Papa Jack, and I'm sitting with Bishop Gayton with all the degrees and all the thing. And I'm sitting there going, okay, God. I'm looking for Jack to do this because I believe this is you. I'm looking for Jack. I'm looking for Lou. Why? Because I got something in me that says this is a nation problem. This racism thing is a national issue. And I know you all know I'm called to this thing, but I got a man sitting in front of me who's married to a white woman who has more PhDs and degrees and can articulate in areas that I can't. And because of the color of his skin and the things, he could say things that they would lynch me for. And I didn't listen to him for a day or two and figured out he's crazy enough to say it. And so I feel it's my responsibility to use the influence that I can to get him at a platform that God can actually bring some change to a nation. Why? Because the man has a national voice. He just hasn't found the connections to get him there yet. And I'm sitting here driving home, and the Lord says to me, he says, do you understand? Papa Jack has it. He said, but if you hadn't dealt with Papa Jack's insecurity. See, I confronted Jack several years ago because he wouldn't step into a rightful national platform and actually function in the government level he was called to. And we had a come to Jesus meeting. And he sat down and he says, listen. At 9 years old, my father beat me to a place of softness. And I have wrestled with stepping into this role. He was 81 years old when he said that. What have you allowed to beat you into a place of softness that will hinder your ability to facilitate the national voice to change a nation? At 81, there's no excuse. At my age, there's no excuse. At your age, there's no excuse. And if we do it right, we won't have to give them excuses. What is your mandate? Mine is to use the influence God gives me to change this nation. Do you not know it was from the Lord? For he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Let me tell you something. God will use your unsanctified rebellion to put you in a pickle. That when you're in a pickle with the Philistines, the Spirit of the Lord can come and he can use you to kill them all. I know. Sweet baby Jesus laying in the manger. That's bad talk. When you're dealing with devils and demons, take their head off. I didn't say take the head off your brethren. I said take the head off the devil. Take off the one that's ruling you when it's not Christ. So God allows Samson to get put into this pickle. And it says his parents didn't know it was the Father. I touched on this Wednesday night. I had a dream several years ago. And as a matter of fact, during that season, God was using me to confront a large fellowship in Western New York, actually lose part of that leadership. And when I got in so much trouble, I knew he was a father because he did things to protect me. He didn't destroy me. He might not have agreed with everything, but he didn't know what to do with me. But he didn't judge me. He loved me. In the middle of this dream, I mean, I'd been pretty well blackballed, and no one wanted to hear my words anymore, and didn't like my style, and I was accused of some things, and went to bed that night, had a dream, and in this dream, Jesus was fishing in the back of a 65-foot Hatteras, outriggers out, and he was fishing. And I'm watching Jesus catch these fish, and he's catching sailfish, white marlin and black marlin, which is a type of a billfish. And he caught a dozen of them, and he would bring them to the boat. And he had a gold glove on this hand, and he had a white-handled fish and fillet knife in his hand. And when he would bring, they would bring the bill up, he would grab the fish by the bill, he would drag it to the boat, and he would whisper in the fish's ear, "Are you going to straighten up and fly right, or do I need to fillet you?" 40% of the fish, he cut their throat, unhooked it, and threw them in the bait well. The others, he undid it, and he turned them loose, and they just tail walk. I'm looking at this dream, and I'm like, wow. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns and looks from the cockpit of this fishing vessel, looks through me with eyes that would pierce you. And he says, "Charlie, thank you for taking me fishing. I love to fish. Thank you so much." And I come out of this dream, I'm like, I don't have a 65. I'd like to have a 65-foot Hatteras. I've had some boats that I can fish with, but Lord, I don't understand. He goes, "Oh, son, it's not the boat." And I go into a vision. He said, "It's not the boat. You're the bait." He was trolling me around, and I looked at these fish biting my behind, but in my behind is a hook. In my life is a hook that Jesus can drag those in leadership, those who are the trophy fish of the world, and he drags them to the boat, and he whispers, "Are you going to straighten up and fly right?" I'm like, wow, that makes sense. That's what he did with Samson. He allowed him to look for something, and he used it. But his parents didn't understand it, and they knew that they had gotten pregnant for a destiny. They gotten pregnant for a promotion, for a mission. And so Samson goes off, and he wants this woman, and then he tells a riddle, and I love this. He tells a riddle. And all of the Philistines are mad because they can't figure out the riddle, and they start pressing his wife. And they press her and press her to find out what the answer is, because there's a reward. Because when you figure the riddle out, you're supposed to give them garment and clothing. And if you figure it, so they press her to where she begs him, "I'm your wife, please." So he tells her, and she tells the people. And he gets mad because he has to pay the debt. I love what he says here. "If you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out the riddle." You need to be careful what heifer you're plowing with. You know what he's saying is he married an uncircumcised Philistine woman and expected loyalty. Some of us go after things that are forbidden. And because they finally connect to us, you think it's righteous. That's a whole nother message. Judges 14:19, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him and went down to
Ashklin and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave them garments so that he had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to her father's house and he gave his wife away. So God says, oh, you want this? You can have it. And the first thing he knew is he's got a bad marriage and her father gives him to his companion. And now you got a maniac man that is mad, who's anointed by God to protect Israel from them. Catch this. So he gets mad and he goes and catches 300 foxes, ties them together, lights them up. He burns up their crops. He burns up their olive. Listen, they've messed with the wrong dude. They've plowed with the wrong heifer. Satan will always overreach what he thinks that he rules. The problem is he doesn't rule, God does. And some of us get into situations where what is ruling us we think is mean. What is ruling us, God rules over those who rule you. But are you man enough to be a plant? Are you man enough to understand the purpose on your life to where when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, you kill the right ones and you protect the righteous ones? There is that whole thing was about that, isn't it? 15:6, the Philistine says, who has done this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Temite, because he has taken his wife and given to her companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father's house. That's a bad marriage when you lose everything. Careful who you marry. And Samson said to them, if this is what you do, I swear I will avenge you, and after I will quit. And he struck them hip and thigh with a great blow. And he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock at Edom. Verse 9, the Philistines came and encamped at Judah and made a raid on Leah. Lehi? How do you pronounce it? Lehi? Lehi works? All right, I'll explain what it means later. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they said, we have come up to bind Samson to do to him as he did to us. Then the 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Listen, there's times where the Spirit of the Lord comes into you and you come into church and you think, this has got to be better than this. And you got to go to God to find out if you have the mandate to mess with the rulership. In this case, God's trying to protect Israel from a false ruler, an uncircumcised Philistine group, like New Age, charismatic witchcraft. Should I continue? What then is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they have done to me, I've done to them. In other words, Samson was a troublemaker. Verse 12. And he said to them, we have come down to bind you that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. Here's the key. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves. When you don't know who you are and whose you are, and the purpose and the mission that God gave you, you won't be able to say what Samson said. All of a sudden, his brethren, all the Israelites came down and we said, Samson, you've caused too much trouble. We're going to tie you up and we're going to hand you over to the Philistines. He says, I submit to your authority. I'll let you tie me up. Do you realize they're talking to the baddest dude in the world? This guy likes, you know, Eve's championships for breakfast. You know, he's bad. He says, I will let you tie me up in one condition, that you yourself will not harm me. You know what he was saying? I was born to protect you from them, not use my anointing against you. What has God anointed you for? To fight among ourselves? Or to fight them? Yeah. To fight the enemy. Yeah.
See, the problem is we're using our anointing in the wrong arenas because we don't know who we are. Because if when our identity is in Him, it's His purpose and Jesus. Listen, I preached out of Esther. The Lord never uses an Israelite to judge an Israelite. He likes to bring in a Hittite. He doesn't want us to fight among ourselves. And so Samson's saying to me, hey, listen, I'll let you tie me up. I'll let you send me over there. Because when you do, they're going to have a bad day. Listen, let me show you what happens here. I know we're running a little late, but too bad. Swear to me that you won't attack me yourselves. Why? Because he's saying, listen, I don't want to hurt you. Verse 13, and they said to him, no, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up to the rock. Then he came to Lehi. The Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were in his arms became as flax that caught fire, and his bonds melted in his hands. Listen, the word Lehi, they came to Lehi, to the Philistines. Lehi's name means jawbone. Catch this. That's the name of Lehi is jawbone. Spirit of the Lord fell on him. So he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, verse 15, and put it in his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, and with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men. And as soon as he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand. And that place is called Ramoth Lehi. When you'll walk in your true identity that God gave you, God will give you the insight to kill the enemy with his false identity. The name Lehi is jawbone. So he took the jawbone and killed 1,000 men. Why? Because when you have your identity in him, you will always destroy those who have their identity in the enemy. A God-given identity destroys a false identity. Now, some of this you didn't tell me, so some of this is actually from God. Seriously, you know how your little pea brain works? God, you're having me preach a message that I got from Lou over here in a conversation with Lou and Doctor, and Lou's coming. I know he's coming. And Lord, he's thinking I stole that message. And he said, well, when you're done preparing it, you'll know. Because he had no idea that this message helped me repent to Susie. Ramoth Lehi means elevation of the jawbone. So when you step into your identity and grab their false identity and use it to destroy their false identity, it's the elevation of the jawbone. And whose hand it is in? The one who was born to protect Israel from the ones he had just murdered. He took great caution not to wound his brethren. He begged them, don't put me in this crisis. Tell me you won't. Why? Because there's a spirit of the Lord falls on me and I kill anything that tries to bind me. Yeah. So here's my 4 points in a psalm. Get whole from what is hindering you. Rest in your God-given identity. Judge in righteousness. Attract God. Get pregnant. Train the baby. The name Samson means his son, his service, and then there's the second time. Those are the three meanings of the name Samson. When you study Samson, he had great failure. They gouged his eyes out. They shaved his hair off. But let me tell you something. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, if the enemy has shaved your hair, I'm going to give you a secret. In God's kingdom, hair grows back. Even though you might have lost your sight for that season, you could still hear the voice. And you can cry out, God, one more time, anoint me. Take me to the pillars of this place. Take me to the foundation of this false God. Take me to the pillars of this false identity. One more time. I can't see and my hair is starting to grow back. God, anoint me one more time. And he pulls down the very foundation of the demonic kingdom. And he killed more in the end being blind, but because he found his hair. Hair represents glory, by the way. And he was blind, but he had glory. And he pulled down the foundation of the enemy's camp. He killed more with no eyes than he did all of the other time in one move. So let me tell you something. There is always a second chance when the spirit of a warrior, the spirit of a protector. Listen, there's a lot of people who are warriors, but they don't know who they're protecting. Because we accuse everybody else of being why you're not where you're supposed to be. Because you judge incorrectly. Make sure you use your anointing to the right group into which you were given. That is not your brother. Stand to your feet. And we got something out of this today. Well, I feel better about it already. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us. Lord, I'm asking for wisdom on how to grow our hair back if we feel like we've failed and have missed it. You're the God of second chances, even Samson's name, second service, God of service. God, I'm asking for our identity to come from you and from you only. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for wisdom on how to train the giant killers that are in our midst. How to not kill the spirit, but train the soul. Train the very things that will enhance their ability to know what their purpose is and what their mission is. God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus to bring them in and give us the ability to facilitate their growth. Not just the babies, but us. Lord, I look at Jay and he needs hair in the natural. God, his hair is growing back. My hair is growing back. Listen, as I shared this Wednesday, that dream, and I share this dream again, I've been alone with God. And the Lord is saying to me, it's been a season that you haven't been bitten by the brethren. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be bitten by the brethren. He says, I can't go fishing with you anymore. He says, I built you for a purpose. I've ordained you for a purpose. And you want to run off in a little scarab race boat and not take me fishing. See, in my life, in my career in boating, I wanted two boats. I wanted a scarab to run drugs with, and I wanted a fishing boat to play in. Then I got saved. Thank you, Jesus. But listen, until that leprosy and that scab is healed in you, you will want to run a scarab to the top and not take him fishing in the journey. That makes sense? So when God can use us to go fishing where he wants to, he gives us a scarab to play in, not to run contraband in. So there's a process to the journey. What is your leprosy? What is your scab? What hornet stung you that you always go to it as an excuse not to be who God called you to be? It's up to you to judge yourself. I love these people. Don't judge me. Well, you need to judge yourself. You need to find out why. What is your green light versus your stoplight? What stops you? What leprosy? What scab? What hornet sting? And I believe when we walk through those processes and we ask God, give me my mission. What have you anointed me for? Can you write in your journal like my mother? God, what about all these promises? and have God say, the one you're carrying? Maybe this kingdom stuff is generational. See, I'm in a crisis because maybe it's not me going to do everything God's promised me. Maybe it's all these crazy kids around here. But if I positioned myself to train them, and you showed me that picture, that's what I desire. Teach them how to worship at that age, that I won't have to wrestle at them at the older ages. Because when they've wrestled with God, they won't wrestle with me. There's a responsibility to pour in the kingdom into ourselves and the ones God has entrusted us with. And we will be a training center here. I love people come, well, I'm a prophet. And I'm thinking, well, we'll see. Because I treat prophets differently. When I get serious with you, we'll find out, because you'll go back to God and God will say, I told him to do that to you to see how you'd respond. And you'll be like, darn. Then you come back and I don't think I'm going to be a prophet around you. Yes, you do. Because we need each other. And there's some of you that are more like Susie. You're not on the front line swinging sword the way she does. But let me tell you, she can swing a little dagger. She knows her place. She rests better. She needs it more. I'll never forget the time she was in this altar and she was crying to God. God, I can't do this pastor's wife stuff. I don't know how, I don't fit, I can't do it. And she was crying out to God. And God told her, I didn't call you to be a pastor's wife, I called you to be the wife of a great man. Can you do that? She doesn't fit the pastor's wife mold because I've only been temporary a pastor. But the apostolic and the prophetic is starting to manifest upon me. And some of the pastors in the house are going to have to step up. We're going to have to work together and we're going to have to become what God called us to be as a body.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And yes, there's going to be kids. Jesus, help me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Other...
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
But we're going to train them. We're going to train them. We're going to train them. Because let me tell you something, they have more faith than us.
That's right.
Because you know why? They actually believe us.
Yeah.
Even when you don't believe yourself, they believe what you said. And then they look at you like, why didn't you raise him from the dead? I'm like, I don't know. Why didn't you go pray for him? I don't know. Because they'll actually hold you accountable to what you say. Dude, it's scary. Lord, I bless them. I bless this house. I bless the purpose on the house, the mission on the house. Give us the grace to make the changes necessary to be who you called us to be and to grow the giant killers within our midst, to grow the servants in our midst, to grow the healers in our midst. God, there's prophets in this midst. There's prophetic teachers, prophetic evangelists. There's women that are apostles in our midst. There's women that are prophets in our midst. There's women that are atmosphere changers in our midst. There's men who are afraid of women. Help them too. Oh, that was a whole message I need to preach, I think. Let's find our purpose. Let's find our mission. And let God breathe on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.